Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal, this 11th day of December, 2023. I have a very special guest today. We're making contact, hopefully very, very shortly. Calling now. Try the other number, the 466. Oh, Gregory, I'm sorry, yeah. We'll see what we can do. Here we go. Today being human, well, actually, it was yesterday, was Human Rights Day. Rather fascinating development, given human rights are being so grossly violated in Gaza. United Nations Human Rights Day, 10 December. UN Secretary, all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. The iconic opening sentence of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is as important today as it was when it was adopted 75 years ago. The Universal Declaration is a roadmap helping to end wars, heal division, and promote lives of peace and dignity for all. But the world is losing its way. Conflicts are raging. Poverty and hunger are increasing. Inequalities are deepening. The climate crisis is a human rights crisis that is hitting the most vulnerable the hardest. Authoritarianism is on the rise. Civic space is shrinking and the media is under attack from all sides. Gender equality remains a distant dream and women's reproductive rights are being rolled back. Today, it's more important than ever to promote and respect all human rights, social, cultural, economic, civil, and political, which protect us all. In the meanwhile, you have Bibi Netanyahu congratulating the United States for vetoing the UN Gaza ceasefire resolution. I mean, how juxtaposed can we get? How inconsistent? Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu Saturday said he appreciated the U.S. vetoing a UN Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and vowed to continue his war in the besieged enclave, which has killed at least 18,000 Palestinians. Other countries must also understand that it's impossible to support the elimination of Hamas on one side and on the other to call for the end of the war, which will prevent the elimination of Hamas. Therefore, Israel will continue our just war to eliminate Hamas and achieve the worst other objective we have set. This is so outrageous, I can't believe it. It's not a just war. It's a grossly unjust war. It's in violation of international law, the Hague Convention, the Geneva Convention, the United Nations Charter. For the U.S. is facing backlash and criticism from fellow U.N. Security Council members for being the only to vote against the ceasefire resolution, as Israel is killing civilians at an historic pace. Have no doubt about that. Here's the latest update from Meadowvice. Operations Al-Qasa flood day 65. U.S. rushes arms to Israel as Palestinians announce over 250,000 homes destroyed in Gaza. Body bags are accumulating. Casualties. 17,400 plus killed, 46,000 wounded in the Gaza Strip, 274 Palestinians killed in the occupied West Bank and in East Jerusalem. Israel revises its estimated October 7th death toll down from 1,400 to 1,147. And I dare say most of those were actually killed by Israel itself. 425 Israeli soldiers killed since October 7th, where the media reports over 5,000 injured, citing military sources. Here are key developments. The PA's Ministry of Public Works and Housing said more than 250,000 housing units were destroyed to varying degrees, either completely or partially, while more than 30% of the infrastructure was destroyed. A recent BBC report, based on satellite injury, estimated that 100,000 buildings had been destroyed by the end of November in the Gaza Strip, with the north of Gaza most heavily damaged. Israeli forces launched air raids overnight, and Al-Nusra, Al-Maghazi, Al-Zawiya refugee camps in the central Gaza Strip. Just imagine launching airstrikes on refugee camps in east of Gaza City's Al-Taraf and Al-Shujaya neighborhoods, killing tens of Palestinians, who, the World Health Organization said, as more and more people move to a smaller and smaller area, overcrowding, combined with a lack of adequate food, water, shelter, sanitation, are creating the ideal condition for disease to spread, who added, Gaza's health system is on its knees and collapsing. As 14 of the 36 hospitals are partially working, only two located in North Gaza. Yehoth Ebronoth revealed Saturday over 5,000 Israeli soldiers have been injured in the Gaza fighting. 2,000 categorized as disabled. Signed official figures by Israel's Ministry of Defense. An average of 60 soldiers have been wounded daily by battles in Gaza and transferred to the Israeli Military Rehabilitation Department. More going on here. The West, get this, the West agonizes, over an atrocity upsurge, even while backing Israel's genocide in Gaza. I mean, think about it. Think about the absurdity of this. This is the UNS review, UNZ.com. The problem isn't global inaction to prevent mass atrocities, as the Guardian claims. It's intense U.S. and U.K. support for atrocities, so long as they bolster their global power. How do politicians, diplomats, media, and even human rights community keep us politically ignorant, docile, and passive in a collective mindset, preventing us from challenging their power as well as a status quo from which they benefit? The answer? By constantly misrepresenting reality to us and their own role in shaping it. And they do so successfully, because at the same time they gaslight us by flaunting the pretense that they crave to make the world a better place where in truth the unspoken danger is that were these advances to be realized, their own power would be severely diminished. A perfect illustration of how this grand deception works was provided in a report on the weekend, the supposedly progressive Guardian newspaper headline, "World faces heightened risk of mass atrocities due to global inaction." The opening paragraph reports, human rights activists fear the international community has given up on intervention efforts to stop mass atrocities. Lena fears that such occurrences may become the norm around the world. So what we have here is really an outrageous situation. At the same time, they're complaining about protests. They're perpetrating genocide. How could the situation be worse? Here is a rather fascinating development. Greg Felton authored a satirical piece back on 11 May 2009, but the content is 100% correct. Addressed in the 63rd session of the General Assembly on the 60th anniversary of Israel's admission, Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, with each passing year, we come closer to our past. Every year brings the momentous anniversaries of events that shaped our world. For example, we have recently marked the 60th anniversary of the end of World War II and of the United Nations itself. These two events, inextricably linked, form the basis of what we've come to know as the modern era, the post-war era. For me as Secretary General, looking back on where the UN started and where it is now, has special importance, for I'm now charged with guiding the world body through unknown and certain territory. Terrorism has long since replaced arms control in Dayton as a focus of international security. Yet the term denies definition. One country's terrorist is another country's revolutionary hero. Some insist that terrorists are opposed to democracy, but we have all seen democracy behave like terrorists. In many ways, the world today does not seem to be very removed from the barbarity of World War. Invasion of Iraq lasted longer than World War II. More bombs were dropped on that poor country than all dropped in that great war. The International Declaration of Human Rights, so prized and venerated by men and women of honor everywhere, stands as an impotent relic of a forgotten time because conquest, cruelty, and arrogance are still with us and growing stronger. For all the good the UN has accomplished since its founding, and there have been successes, the sheer magnitude of human suffering and violation of international that have a law that have occurred and are still occurring must be taken into account. Get this. Few people know that Israel is the only state to be given a congressional admission under General Assembly Resolution 273. Israel was admitted on the condition that it grant all Palestinians the right to return to their homes and receive compensation for lost or damaged property. This provision is embedded in UNGA Resolution 194. Suffice to say, Israel has never lived up to those terms and never intended to. For 60 years, Israel has violated its terms of admission. Ever 60 years, the UN has done nothing about it. It has watched as Israel heaped misery upon misery on Palestine and violated international law with impunity. After Operation Cast Lead, no person, no country, no democracy can look at Israel without thinking of the inhuman slaughter and destruction committed by the Axis powers in World War II. No one could have said the same about numerous past massacres. What atrocities might the world have been spared if the UN had refused to admit Israel then, 60 years ago? Of course, the immediate post-war world was a different time. The world had just witnessed the horrors of Hitler's racist excesses and collective Western guilt for the Holocaust dictated attitude toward the idea of a Jewish state. Even the UN could not withstand the moral pressure. On November 29, 1947, it passed General Resolution as Assembly Resolution 181, the partition plan to carve a Jewish state out of Arab Palestine. However, it was never ratified by the Security Council, and so does not exist in law, which means the UN played no role in the creation of Israel. Nevertheless, the partition plan was utterly illegal in a violation of the UN Charter because the UN had no right or power to take land from one people and give it to another. Those claims are accurate and true. Really, Israel should be expelled from the United Nations for violating the terms of its acceptance. Meanwhile, in relation to the war, thousands of Israeli soldiers have been wounded and disabled in the Gaza fighting, which is a reason why they really would prefer to bomb Gaza into non-existent than fight. This is Middle East eye. Israel-Palestine war, thousands of Israeli soldiers wounded and disabled in Gaza fighting. Meanwhile, UN warns half of Gaza's population is currently starving as a death toll, which has reached more than 17,100 Palestinians, continues to climb. Meanwhile, get this, talk about the horrors, again, from the Middle East eye. Israel-Palestinian war. Israeli politician calls for captured Palestinians to be buried alive. A far-right deputy mayor of Jerusalem described arrested Palestinians in Gaza as subhuman and invokes biblical references. And indeed, the Bible, the Old Testament, abounds with reports of genocide. It's perfectly standard operation for the God of Israel. The deputy mayor of Jerusalem, Ariat Kitzhak King, has called for the Israeli army to bury alive hundreds of Palestinian civilians captured in Gaza. In a post on X Friday, King, a far-right politician, said the Israeli army was eliminating Muslim Nazis in Gaza, suggesting it needed to pick up the pace. A post made specific reference to footage published by the Israeli army showing captured Palestinians stripped to their underwear, kneeling on the ground and being guarded by Israeli soldiers. Let me add, that all appears to be propaganda. They may have been Palestinians, but not Hamas. They were not surrendered. They were stripped to their shorts and on their knees, but this appears to have been fake, staged, phony. King, in his post, since deleted for violating rules on X, said, "If it were me, I would have dispatched D9 bulldozers, put them behind the mounds of dirt, would have given the order to cover these hundreds of ants while they're still alive." The men are thought to have been arrested in Bet Lahia, the far north of the Gaza Strip. Well, remember, we had the reports of boys 15 and older being rounded up and taken into captivity by the IDF. Meanwhile, and this is from MondaWise, despite lack of evidence, allegations of Hamas mass rape are fueling Israeli genocide in Gaza. They'll take any justification whatsoever, even if it cannot be proven. Here's a world demanding proof that it actually happened. But it's not going to come forth because it did not happen. After all, Israel's allegations of sexual violence committed by Hamas have returned to international headlines with a vengeance as the UN faces heightened pressure to condemn Hamas' alleged sexual violence, the sudden onslaught of media and international attention nearly 2 months after October 7th. Begs the question, why now? Narratives of sexual violence have not only resurged, but have done so with vim. lurid stories of gang rape, mutilation, and even necrophilia have been disseminated by the media. This has occurred despite there being no substantive developments in evidence of sexual assault from the Israeli occupation forces. They're making this up. Israel has repeatedly failed to provide forensic evidence, concrete photographic evidence, or victim testimonies to news organizations beyond inferences made by Israel's forensic teams. Indeed, the Times of Israel alleges the IDF will never provide forensic evidence because physical evidence of sexual assault was not collected from corpses by Israel's overattacked morgue facilities, and it is now reportedly too late to collect. Of course, if you're going to perpetrate a lie, don't allow evidence to support it. But in this case, the absence of evidence is properly considered evidence of absence, that it did not happen. Meanwhile, the White House says there's no deadline for Israel to end the Gaza onslaught. U.S. Deputy National Security Advisor John Feiner said Thursday the Biden admin has not set a deadline on Israel's war in Gaza, and reiterate U.S. opposition to a ceasefire. Right, we don't want the slaughter to end. We have not given a firm deadline to Israel, not really our role. This is their conflict. That said, we do have influence, even if we don't have ultimate control over what happens on the ground in Gaza. The fact of the matter is, as even Israeli generals have acknowledged, if it not were the bombs and the planes and the artillery and all the other weaponry being provided by the United States, this could not take place. The slaughter would end. All the United States has to do is stop providing the munitions necessary to slaughter Palestinians. That seems like a simple task. Does the United States lack the humanity, the decency, the morality, the commitment to international law and human rights to do that? The answer is mind-boggling and clear. Yes, the United States lacks all the human decency to cut off the slaughter. Financial Times reported last week, Israeli onslaught is expected to last over a year. Just imagine, over a year of genocide taking place before the world and the world doing nothing to stop it. U.S. officials told CNN they expect the current phase of the war, which involves constant airstrikes and a ground operation, to continue into 2024, when Israel would narrow its targeting to specific Hamas members, possibly by January. Right. Remember, they regard all Palestinians as members of Hamas. They regard all Palestinians, women, children, the elderly. There's no doubt about it. Indeed, Israel rumps up its attacks as the U.S. blocks the ceasefire demand. Israel has pounded the Gaza Strip from north to south in an expanded phase of its two-month-old war against Hamas, after the U.S. wielded its U.N. Security Council veto to shield its ally from a global demand for ceasefire. 13 of the Security Council's 15 members voted for the resolution calling for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire that was blocked by Washington while Britain abstained. Since the truce collapsed last week, Israel has expounded its ground campaign in the southern half by launching the storming of the main southern city, Khan Yunus, where it claimed those Hamas members had surrendered. But it was all staged. Meanwhile, and this is going to increase the intensity of the Israeli killing, son of Israeli minister killed in Gaza, IDF announces, Master Sergeant Galmir Eisenkot, 25, a combat soldier with the 699th Battalion of the 551st Reserve Commando Brigade, was killed in combat in the northern Gaza Strip. His father was chief of the general staff of the IDF from February 2015 to January 2018 and served in the army for four decades. In the wake of the 7 October attacks, he joined the wartime cabinet as a minister without portfolio. He's a member of Benny Gantz's National Unity Party, was elected to the Knesset in 2022. A total of 88 IDF soldiers have been killed in Gaza since 7 October, where PM Netanyahu expressed his condolence in a post on Twitter. The government of Israel and citizens join you in mourning.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm trying to bring in my guest, where I'm sorry to say we had no success previous to this, in spite of repeated efforts to do so. Let's see whether I can be successful now. In the meanwhile, there's been a military briefing on the Israeli bombing of Gaza, but I mean, it's just horrific. Talking about the types of bombs they're using and how massively the campaign is taking place, just absolutely stunning stuff. Really, really disgusting. Here are more inside. We'll see what we can do here. Israeli forces have destroyed the cultural archive of Gaza City. Why am I not surprised? We have more destruction and death taking place. Critics of Israel's mass killing face unprecedented UN policing. That critics of the genocide are facing unprecedented problems here. I'm trying to see what I can do here to get my guest on because she has so much to say. Absolutely fantastic. And Mr. Rowe is assisting me if we can make it happen. Meanwhile, the newsroom has become a battleground in Israel's war on Gaza, Al Jazeera. A good report here. The battle over how the war is reported. Journalists have been the primary victims. One journalist after another has been taken out. Not too long ago, the world was witness to starkly contrasting images. On the one hand, we saw Palestine TV journalist Salman al-Bashir on our screens, visibly grief-stricken following the news of the death of his colleague, Mohammed Abu Hattab. Hattab had been on the air 30 minutes ago when he returned home. Hattab and 11 of his family members were killed by an Israeli airstrike. Surprise, surprise. Al-Bashir was reduced to tears. We can't anymore. We are exhausted. We are here, victims and martyrs, awaiting our deaths. We are one after the other, and no one cares about us or the large-scale catastrophe and the crime in Gaza. He then proceeded to take off his protective gear, adding, no protection, no international protection at all, no immunity to anything. This protective gear does not protect us. Wow. Are we surprised? Are we surprised? Again, I'm working to make this happen.
And I'm hearing nothing.
I know. I'm very sorry. This is my problem. Absolutely my problem. Very, very, very sorry about this. I'm trying to give you her email so we can get her on. Perhaps you could send her an email there and we can get her on. You call me and I will not be charged. Yes. Mm-hmm. If there's any way you can call, you know, make it my call, Ahmad, we'd be good. Is there any way you could call her? I mean, I'm glad to reimburse for the call. If you can call her and get her on, I will cover any charge involved here. Meanwhile, we have endless reporting of the
I had it, but it was trying to put me in another window.
I know. I tried it too, and it wouldn't add to the call right here to the studio. She's called me repeatedly, but I've been unable to add her to the right. To the right.
Let's see who this is. It says anonymous.
But... yeah, that'll do it. That's her. That's anonymous.
Well, I just added her and they joined us.
She's with us?
No, she hadn't joined us.
Okay.
Even though I said add.
Yeah. Well, let me add. Here's another report from Mondo Vice. I used to think the term Judeo-Nazi was excessive. I don't any longer. The late Professor Leibowitz applied the term Judeo-Nazi back in the late 1980s when he referred to former Supreme Court Judge Hello? Meyer Landau. Oh, we got her?
I got somebody.
Layla, yeah. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
I am so, so sorry. I thought I could easily add you, and you tried repeatedly, and I could not get you on to the same link connecting with the studio. Now, I've been reporting about this having been Human Rights Day on Sunday and how ironic that is when Netanyahu is expressing his appreciation for the UN veto of a ceasefire resolution. And I've also been talking about how the way in which Israel came into the UN was conditional, and that Israel deserves to be expelled from the UN for violating its terms of acceptance. I'd welcome any comments on that or the other stories I've been reporting about the ongoing slaughter.
Well, the irony is that Israel has repeatedly trying to get Russia thrown out of the UN. Israel wants to totally control the UN. It already does anyway. But the problem is Russia stands in the way. Israel, it has the U.S. in its pocket, in its back pocket. So it now wants to get rid of Russia. It wants to dominate everything when Israel itself is the most illegal, illegitimate, most corrupt, most satanic, most vile and murderous butcher on this planet. Israel is a gang. It is a gang of terrorists, every single one of them. And any person who is a member by so-called citizenship is a gangster too. You are all murderers, every one of you that supports that criminal enterprise. It is not even a colonial enterprise. It is a slaughtering, butchering, anti-human criminal enterprise. It should not be a member of any organization that considers itself human. They are not part of the human family.
I think that's
now, are there
absolutely.
People who are there people who call themselves Jews who are humane and worthy of respect? Yes, of course. Most of them are opposed to Israel and its slaughtering and its murderous excuses. It dares always to label everybody a terrorist when it has been a terrorist organization from the very time it was conceived in the first evil Zionist eye.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the bombing of the King David Hotel, for example, by a gang of Ergun terrorists dressed as Arabs.
That's only a small example. Everything about them and their alliance with the vile, evil English. I don't talk about all of Britain, but London, England is the most vile entity that has enabled and is spiritually part of those who call themselves Israelis and use the cover of Zionism. They have exploited everything they can take out of the scriptures, which the people of Judah wrote when they were in Babylon because they did not know how to write prior to that. And since then, it has been revised and redacted to suit their propagandistic needs. They have exploited everything that is supposed to elevate humanity, that is supposed to bring us to the essence of what God represents, of what Jesus represents. These are animals, and anyone who calls themselves a Christian and supports these monstrosities, these bloodthirsty vampires, you are equally culpable. Blinken, you fraud, get out of the U.S. house. You do not belong there, and take your creepy puppet Biden with you. Get out. You are not human. You are not members of the human species. What species you belong to, you know, but you most certainly are not human. Get out Get out of my country. Get off my land and my people's land. Get out of Palestine, you thieves, you bloodthirsty thieves. Get the hell out. Go back to where you belong, you satanic creatures. You bloodthirsty monstrosities that distort and destroy babies. And you who sit back and tremble in fear and succumb to their bribery and their threat, cowards, you are equally culpable. Every country that calls itself a country, throw them out of the UN or dissolve the UN. They do not have an entitlement to dynastic control of the Security Council. That violates every concept of democratic and the, it's talk about supreme doublespeak. The UN has a permanent membership that it hands down to the country, as though the country itself is a dynasty. Get the UN and the UK out of the Security Council, then dissolve the Security Council, have it a matter of rotating membership on good standing. But first, you must throw Israel, this fake gang of terrorists, you must throw them out of the UN if you are ever to have any credibility. They murdered Count Volker Bernadotte. They were behind the murder of Dag Hammarskjöld. They're behind any criminal enterprise that has ever occurred on this planet. The so-called mafia, that is the so-called gang of Israel. Those terrorists, those vile, vile terrorists. And the rest of you in this world, stop trembling in fear. What kind of humans are you? Those of you who profess to be religious, to have spiritual beliefs, you're cowards. You are enablers of the most vile crime, and ultimately you will pay. They will devour you too.
Bear in mind, Lila, that there's been a detachment of the American people from the American government by controlling the voting machine.
Irrelevant. They have participated. They have permitted it to happen for decades. Yes, the people are in fear of being like they did on January 6th. You have allowed them to control all of the institutions of power and force in your country, America, your country. Yeah. And they have taken over and entrapped you and ambushed you on January 6th and every other instance. They have used members of your society. They have broken you off into fragments and manipulated you to throw you against one another. The oldest satanic tactic that has ever existed on this planet and perhaps within the cosmos. They are vile animals. Blinken, get rid of him. He is vile and evil, and he is colluding. To see photos of him sitting next to that disgusting creature, here they are, Blinken, who's really running the show, with this creep Netanyahu, that is not his real name. His real name is from some ghetto in Europe where he belongs. Bury him back in his ghetto. Send him back to the ghetto where he came from. And let them deal with him. Anyone who gave rise to that creature should have to deal with him. But you, America, how can you have allowed this for so long? Never mind Canada. Canada, of course, Canada is a totally corrupt country. Always has been. Doesn't matter who's in charge. Liberals or conservatives, the Zionists are running the show. The terrorists, Zionists. Terrorists are running Canada. Terrorists have always run England. Terrorists are now running your country and most other countries in South America. Mele is probably, what did I see? Zelensky with a menorah being presented to Mele in Argentina? God help you, Argentina. You got rid of the Perón, and now you've got this creep. They're all over. They're everywhere. They're like cockroaches. Wherever the Jews go, you know it's the footprint of cockroaches. Get rid of them. At least if you want to live with cockroaches, you can do so for the rest of the world. Just get off my homeland. Get out of my country. Get out of Palestine. Get out, you vile, murderous terrorists. You dare to pretend to be human, and you dare to call everyone else terrorists because they dare to defend themselves. They dare to express their human dignity by standing up and saying, no, No, you vile creatures, I will not crumble in fear of you. You creeps. That's too mild a word. I can't use the words that are worthy. It's impossible. There is no word in the human, any human language that adequately describes the sinister, evil concept of what these creatures are that have been illegally given my country, my homeland, and that of my people, that have devoured the blood and the flesh of my people. You flesh-eating savages, get off my homeland. Get out. And if they don't get out, then you have a responsibility, the rest of this world. Because if you don't, they will come after you and devour you. You fools, you cowards, especially you, Germany. You accepted the responsibility for the propaganda that they created about the Holocaust. You know it was done in collusion with the Jews, with those who call themselves Jews, but are really satanic. You colluded with them. You accepted the responsibility. And then, like cowards, you shift the blame onto innocent people in Palestine, onto my people. And I had to leave. I had to live my life and watch my family die waiting for these people who appeared, who had the persona, the appearance of being human, but ultimately have revealed they are not. They are not human. They are not of this world. They are of another sinister, evil world. Get them out of here. Save yourself. And meanwhile, at least make the effort. At least make the effort instead of crumbling like a bunch of servile fools. Oh, Israel, it's not defending itself. A defense is at the moment that the attack is occurring. And furthermore, the October 7th so-called atrocity was itself an act of defense. It was in response to 75 years of brutal, brutal abuse of those human beings, torture, deprivation, humiliation, beatings, starvation, deprivation of every imaginable sort that a normal human being needs. But they don't need it. They are gluttons. They are gluttons for your blood and for your flesh. They will never be sated. Get rid of them for your own salvation. Throw them, dissolve the UN if its Security Council cannot be held accountable. What in God's name can you reasonable people see as being reasonable and logical at a time when democracy is supposed to be based on merit? How can you allow a dynastic seat on the Security Council to be handed down from one corrupt person to another within these corrupt terrorist gangs of the UK and Israel and the US, which is basically Israel number two? You have lost it, America. You're not an independent. You're not a republic. You're a servant of this satanic entity. So, yeah, what else did you want me to say, Jim?
Well, I think your impassioned response is very genuine to this ongoing slaughter of the Palestinian people.
It's genuine, but it's true. It's true. It's not just.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Absolutely true. These creatures are evil and dangerous. Gantz now is speaking up. Benny Gantz, the Romanian, is speaking up now as though he has. Get off my land, you Romanian pig. Get off my homeland. I want to go home, and I don't want you creeps there. There is no peace. There is no such thing as a two-state or one-state solution. It is impossible to coexist with those animals. They are worse than marauding, mauling dogs. They are worse than, they are like hyenas, the spotted hyena, the most vicious of all hyenas, the ones that were dreaded within Asia and Africa. That's the closest they are to this animal kingdom. Other than that, they are absolutely satanic devils. Every worst imagination, horror that you can possibly imagine, that is them in disguise. Whether it is that animal that calls himself Netanyahu, who knows what, I can't remember his real name, and even that was probably not real. The whole costume of wearing a human body is unreal. Nothing about them is real. They are pure evil walking around. Get rid of them. Unfortunately, you idiot Biden, you retard, you puppet, with electrodes operating you with remote control. Probably that's how you function. A zombie revived, and they are controlling you with remote control. But Blinken is running the show, whatever his real name is. None of them is really human. None of them. If you believe at all that there was a God, there is a God who created humans, then you have an obligation to get rid of them, because they are a desecration of your beliefs. They are a desecration of the human form. Get them out of this planet. Get rid of them. Disassemble them. Lock them up for once and forever. Do yourselves and your children and your descendants, if they ever get a chance to be born and to live, as anything other than modified to meet the needs, the artificial intelligence needs of those vicious animals, that Zionist terrorist gang that has taken over in my homeland of Palestine, that belongs to me and my ancestors, that they have stolen you and your cohorts in London, England, and that creep Charles III, how dare you? You brag you are descended from Dracula, from Vlad, Count Vlad. Of course you are. All of you are. There's nothing more that I can say. The UN itself is a joke. There are a lot of good things that the UN does, but it's only on the periphery. At the core, at the heart of it, is this evil gang, these terrorists. They call themselves the UK. That's their title for the seat that they seem to think they're entitled to hold in perpetuity until they've completely destroyed this planet. And then the U.S., which tragically started off with such wonderful ideals and ended up being grabbed by the Zionists, first with that Alexander Hamilton and every other Zionist terrorist that came in the disguise of a human body and brought with them their vile money that seems to bring people to their lowest possible level. This greed, this vanity, this endless need for insatiable destruction of the humans on this planet, the destruction of anything that is good and moral. Shame on you humans for allowing these beasts to wear your body, to wear a similar body to that of yours. To allow them to intimidate you, terrify you, and give you your speech, tell you what words to say. How ridiculous did, as Norman Finkelstein describes her, the Nazi princess von der Leyen, not as she was reading her script with Netanyahu standing facing her to the left of her, and when she said, "We stand with Israel," and she looked up at him for approval, and he nodded. It was so obvious. Dumb woman. You dumb, dumb creature woman, von der Leyen. You are the guilty party. You are his enabler, you and people like you. Now get rid of them for your own sake. Just get them off my homeland. I will not die. I will live until I see them removed from my homeland. Sorry, Jim, now would you like to say something?
What I would like to do, Lila, is I'm going to find a Finkelstein interview in his talk and to begin our second hour, and I'd like you to comment on the points that Greg Felton has so skillfully made about the UN actually not being entitled to membership, that it's qualified. We'll be right back with Lila Palestina. Don't go away. You don't want to miss a minute of this.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, another powerful voice speaking out against Israel's illegal war has been Norman Finkelstein. Let's listen to a bit of a recent interview he has presented about what's going on in its outrageous character.
Norman Finkelstein is one of the world's most distinguished scholars on Israel-Palestine. He has written probably the definitive account of Israel's decades-long war on Gaza. His book, Gaza, An Inquest into Its Martyrdom, was published in 2018, and it gives a forensic account of Israel's two previous bombing campaigns on the Strip, Operation Cast Lead in 2008 and Operation Protective Edge in 2014. I spoke to Norman Fornavara live on the 4th of December to discuss events since October the 7th and Israel's latest assault on Gaza. Half of this conversation was streamed on the live show. The full version is here. It was an incredibly expansive and challenging conversation, and I began by asking Norman about his view on the last 3 days of Israel's assault on Gaza, so that's since the end of the 7-day ceasefire, which collapsed last week.
My reaction was a personal one. Yesterday there was an article in The Guardian, your Guardian, about these grids that Israel had handed out or posted on the web of where the people in the south of Gaza are supposed to flee. And the article, I guess it was in the comment is free section of The Guardian, the article indicated the extent to which these quote-unquote instructions are complete chaos. Nobody knows which way to go, where is safe, where is not safe. Most of these instructions are inaccessible to large parts of the population. And as I was reading through this article, immediately what came to mind for me was a statement that my late mother made regarding her own experience during the war. So once she was interviewed about the subject, in my generation, there was a famous book. It's an awful book, but it nonetheless was famous by this so-called Holocaust historian, Lucy Dawidowicz. And the title of the book was called The War Against the Jews. And my mother reacted in indignation. It was not a war. It was an extermination. And she described with one metaphor how she conceived her experience. She said, we were like cockroaches. Every time the light was shined on us, we rushed in another direction. And then it was shined on us again, and we rushed in another direction, and in another direction, like cockroaches. And people may, as always, be offended by my analogies, but it reminded me, that description in The Guardian reminded me of the Palestinians rushing in this direction, rushing in that direction, the bombs falling here, rushing in that direction, the bombs falling again, rushing here, scurrying there, scurrying here, scurrying there. Not a war, an extermination.
What do you mean by extermination? I mean, I know you've studied in depth the previous two bombardments on Gaza, so in 2008, 2009, and 2014. Now, you sort of document in great detail the human rights abuses, the sort of callousness when it comes to human life. But they weren't wars of extermination. I mean, do you think that this war does now meet that definition? And if so, why?
You can use the Israeli terminology, which actually in all of its sinister aspects is nonetheless indicative of a deeper truth. In previous Israeli high-tech massacres on Gaza, they were referred to as mowing the lawn. And mowing the lawn conjures the image of cutting the blades of grass. However, with the expectation that the blades of grass will grow back. The aim was to periodically reassert Israel's control, total control of Gaza, and Israel's refusal to brook any resistance. However, October 7th, was something of a different magnitude for several reasons. Number one, there was clearly and there remains a sheer bloodlust element to the Israeli reaction after October 7th, because the scale of the operation slash atrocities that occurred on October 7th, they were of an altogether different magnitude than had occurred in the past. I should be careful here because every statement of mine will obviously be used against me. When I say operation slash atrocities, it's not altogether clear to what extent what happened was due to orders from on high and to what extent it was the result of spontaneous actions by the people from Gaza. So I am waiting myself. I'm not so confident the truth will ever come out, but I am waiting myself to see that kind of distinction between orders from on high versus initiatives taken spontaneously and personally. And there's also a second question, namely the extent to which the deaths were resultant of the actions of the individuals from Gaza and the extent to which they were the result of Israel in the course of firefights. Having said that, I want to make clear the evidence at this point is, in my opinion, conclusive that atrocities did occur on that day. I'm sorry for that long-winded excursus. However, I have to be careful that when words are plucked from me, I have qualified what I have already qualified what I said. There's an element of bloodlust in the Israeli attack after October 7th on a much higher level, because, you know, in the past, the pretexts for its operations were so trivial by comparison and even almost objectively. Secondly, because what happened on October 7th was such a colossal humiliation to Israel in that it undermined its pretenses for having this world-class, maybe first-rank intelligence services. I mean, Israel has basically built an entire reputation on its capacity for special operations like Entebbe, its intelligence operations. In other words, its reputation rests less on its military prowess on the battlefield than it does on its various extra battle capacities, intelligence, special operations, and so forth. And that reputation was dealt a lethal blow by October 7th. And therefore, Israel, to restore what it's called its deterrence capacity, namely the Arab world's fear of it, had to, as it were, ramp up its destructive capacity in order to compensate for its intelligence failure, spectacular intelligence failure. There's very little to compare to that. So that's the second reason why this Israeli current round is on a qualitatively different level. And the third reason is obviously because, as the cliche has it, every crisis is also an opportunity. And Israel saw this crisis as also an opportunity to, for once and for all, solve the Gaza question. And its solution has not yet been consolidated. Different people in the Israeli administration have made statements going in different directions. Some say to transfer the entire population to Egypt, a mass ethnic cleansing. Some say to make Gaza uninhabitable, forcing the people at some point to leave because they have nothing to go back to. And some, like Netanyahu, analogizing the people of Gaza to Amalek, which means an outright extermination. This is obviously a different goal, however it's conceived. It's a different goal than mowing the lawn.
Hey, Ben Stiller here. Right now, millions of refugees and displaced families.
Well, let me say we get the idea from Norman Finkelstein that several things have happened here. He's talking about the loss of the sense of intelligence expertise with the events of October 7th. I'm convinced they were allowed to happen, and that they increased the number of dead by deliberately shooting, using Apache gunships provided by the United States members of the festival there to run up the total, so Bibi could have a justification for the slaughter of Palestine, number one. But they did lose that myth of their intelligence invulnerability. I think it was feigned, but the consequences have nevertheless been real. Number two, Hamas has been quite robust and valiant in attacking the Israeli forces, especially because, as Colonel McGregor observed, by destroying the buildings, they may have, in essence, defeated themselves, because their tracked vehicles can't navigate over the massive concrete rubble, and it gives Hamas the opportunity to get closer to take out Israeli tanks and armored personnel carriers, which must number around 150 or more by now, and that they are, in essence, being defeated by Hamas on the ground, just as they were defeated by Hezbollah in the past in the invasion in Lebanon. So their military capability has also been severely compromised, taken a serious hit. Third, and in some ways, hang on, Layla. Third, and in some ways, I think even more important, they have lost the ability to play the victim card that has endured since World War II in the wake of all the stories about the Holocaust. And we who have studied the matter know we're not founded, we're just propaganda. But when they are slaughtering innocent civilians, committing genocide, they can no longer pretend to be victims. And I think in a very profound way, that is going to cost them the most. Lila, yours.
Actually, Jim, and it's something that Norman said. By the way, I met Norman when he was, it would have been about 20 years ago. He has spent a lot of his personal time and made huge sacrifices, as others have. And there are a lot of good people who are Jews who have wanted to reveal the abuse of the ideology of Judaism. For example, I'm going to ask, it's no longer in print. The publisher is no longer, I tried to find the website, it doesn't exist anymore. There is a book entitled 51 Documents, Zionist Collaboration with the Nazis, and it's edited by Lenny Brenner. And in there, it shows that they are the architects of the Holocaust. It did occur, certainly not to the extent that they use it today, because, as someone says, a small number is meaningful, but when it's of such huge magnitude, all it does is strike everyone else dumb and nearly paralytic. And that's what they've done with their Holocaust. And then they elevate certain people to being righteous people, and they go along with them. They give honorifics. They control who gets Nobel Prizes. And I'd like to explain how that has happened, but we haven't got time. The point is that once again, they create, it's the simple, what is it, the Olinsky theory, the Olinsky doctrine, you create a crisis, and then you exploit it. So if the crisis doesn't occur naturally, and they engineered the creation of the First and the Second World Wars for their greedy and, as I say, insatiable greed. But that's because they're simply non-human. Most human beings will eventually be sated with a certain amount of material possessions, money or property, and vanity. Some of them can, some people can be sated, but these are simply not humans. They are simply so sinister that there is no way to satisfy their bloodlust and their hunger to control this planet. Whatever you do, Jim, I'm going to ask you to try and find or reprint copies of this 51 documents Zionist collaboration with the Nazis. I don't believe it was a collaboration. I think the Zionists manipulated the Nazis. And they as they have manipulated every other government since then. Well, what do I think about what my thoughts on October 7th? It was engineered. Maybe there was an element of spontaneity amongst the people of Hamas because it was a sense of self. It was an attack of self-defense. After every single day for 75 years of being robbed, humiliated, beaten, abused, watching their relatives and their loved ones suffer and die and be tortured, and not even killed quickly, but to be tortured, mangled, dismembered, it's horrendous. All of that, after 75 years of that, that was an act of self-defense. It was saying, you can no longer walk all over us as though we are passive, ignorant, non-responsive beings. We are going to come back at you. And here's a small measure. And by the way, on the issue of rapes, I can assure you, these people of Hamas have such contempt for these vile terrorist Zionists, they would not want to plant their DNA and have a child with one of those female creatures. Let's face it, Israeli women are some of the most promiscuous women, and they've spread that promiscuity. They would have been afraid of diseases, not to mention they would not want to share a child with one of those creatures. So they would not, if they had time to practice contraception, they might have done it to show them what humiliation felt like, but they didn't have time. Their job was, their mission was to collect hostages to exchange for freedom and to also send a message, we're fighting back.
My opinion is that the morality of the Palestinians is overwhelmingly superior to that of the Israelis. I mean, to me, it's not a serious question. And the Palestinians have lived for 3,000 years in these lands, the Israelis 75. What should give Israel or the Jews primacy to the lands of Palestine over the Palestinians? I mean, the whole situation is frankly absurd, historically, morally.
Jim, go ahead. It goes back way before 3,000 years. Just I alone have been able, through a number of different DNA organs, and the best one is GEDmatch, because that's the one that police globally use for uncovering, trying to trace down when they have a DNA specimen to try and trace down culprits and suspects that they believe if they have some kind of evidence. They always use GEDmatch. That's how they found that guy who was a serial rapist in California. It was through the DNA different databases. So, and GEDmatch is the most, in fact, I had uploaded my DNA to GEDmatch years ago and then was given the option. This is now going to be used by police. You have the right to remove your DNA if you wish. I did not. I left it there. But they have made it clear that it is now a public database for police around the world to use. So going by that, going by what I have found there, my ancestry alone, and I'm only one of millions of Palestinians. I go back at least 20 to 30,000 years. So these pieces of garbage that have come from the ghettos of Europe, they have been recruited by this terrorist satanic organization called Zionism. They have been recruited because they needed to feed them into this monstrous thing called the Holocaust. They were intentionally fed because the organizers were all secular Jews. All they wanted was their foot in the door, but they had to create a crisis. So they found innocent, naive, probably a lot of the Christian peasants of Russia and Eastern Europe. They probably bribed them. Also, the advantage of that was it brought in some attractive bodily features, height, lighter skin, lighter blue eyes, which, of course, they would want in order to be attractive. Today, with cosmetic surgery and the millions of Jewish cosmetic surgeons, they can do it automatically. They can even create something like Biden and either resurrect a zombie or just find a lookalike and then implant. They do implant electrodes. I know that because I know of it having been done, where they implant electrodes and then operate those electrodes in the brain. They operate it with remote control. I suspected that was the case with the earlier actions of Biden. But there are many people, they have mastered artificial intelligence, but they did it. Their thing is that they are not themselves the brilliant people. They just steal. They go into different countries, and they, like Pollard, who was a spy and stole a lot of them. So many Jews have been Zionists, terrorist Zionists have been spies and taken information and delivered it back to their masters that have taken over Palestine and given it to them. And then they develop it for sinister purposes, even more sinister than it might originally have been intended by the normal human minds of strategy. No one can conceive of anything as malevolent as these terrorists that call themselves Israelis. So, the point is now they are so plentiful and they've implanted their disease, their virus, their evil in so many different human beings, it's going to be almost impossible to eradicate it. What we have to do is remove them.
I want to interject that this coming weekend, the 16th and the 17th, my fourth annual Falsifying and Conspiracies Conference will be taking place. I have 20 speakers, 10 on Saturday, 10 on Sunday. It's going to be free and open, available to the public by Zoom. You can watch, participate from the comfort of your own home. It includes speakers who are going to address the nature of false flags, JFK, COVID, what happened there, the role of biological warfare, the elite genocide on the human race. There are going to be question periods. We're going to have more about how the war in Ukraine is a just war and the war against Hamas is not. The speakers are there. There's a brief pitch I've got here just to give you the overview. But you want to take advantage of the opportunity to get a ticket because there are 500 available Zoom seats. And if you're there, you can ask questions. We're going to work on other ways of getting it out. But if you're there, you want to take advantage and it's free. So listen to this. Here we have a brief pitch about it by yours truly.
Welcome to my fourth annual False Flag and Conspiracies Conference 2023, a virtual event on the 16th and 17th of December. Outstanding speakers, Ace Big, Brian Davidson.
After this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Mom.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Outstanding speakers, Ace Baker, Brian Davidson, Fred Lochter, Donald Jeffries, Stephanie Sledge, Dr. Meryl Ness, Giuseppe Vapangulo, Joaquin Gopian, Dr. Reed Labo, Jack Mullen, Joe Olson, Brian Davidson, Monique Lucan, Scott Bennett, Nick Kohlerstrom, Russ Winter, Ron Avery, Miriam Hinane, John Kaminsky, Sarah Westall, Dr. Catherine Horton. This is something you don't want to miss. 500 free Zoom tickets are available. Register now. Go to falseflagsandconspiracyconference.com/tickets/ to get it now.
Now, the fact is, you can also check it out on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. On Twitter, I also have a tweet about it. Check it out. This is something you really ought to take advantage of. We are going to open the phone to lines as Mitchell's unavailable, but Ahmed Painter, I'm glad to say, is assisting me. We have a different number, 229-299-5320. I repeat, 229-299-5320. Call in with any questions or comments for Lila and me.
She's, of course, very passionate, really in agony and angst over what's taking place here in Palestine, a sentiment every one of you and I should share. Alila, go ahead with more comments, if you like, about Finkelstein or the other issues we've been addressing, and we'll see if we have any callers here. 229-299-5320. Layla.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about the upcoming U.S. federal election. As presidential candidates, there's really no one that can be trusted. I'm sorry, I know you favor Trump, probably as the lesser evil, but I don't trust him at all. He's definitely in the pocket of the Zionists, and he's a man of enormous vanity. And someone with that kind of vanity is always vulnerable. So I would say, look at third party candidates. I don't think I don't trust Ramaswamy or whatever, Ramaswamy. I don't. He says all the right things, but everybody can talk a good line. I don't trust someone who can make promises on a campaign trail, and then you know once they're there, they're going to be overcome with their own power. There is one person that I know a lot of people are prejudiced against anyone who has any African heritage, but Cornel West may be somebody you should look at. Obama was a total, well, he belonged to the CIA. He was the property. The word they use is he's a CIA asset. Yeah, well, maybe he's an asset for the CIA. He's not an asset for the country. And Obama was an absolute treacherous person. So, but consider someone like Cornel. Well, look for people like that. Cornel West is impressive because he's not tied to either of the parties. Yeah.
Look, I might agree with your assessment about Cornel West being a worthy guy and Obama being a cad. I think he is turning out to be a great traitor. But the evidence is overwhelming that Trump is not one of them. If he were one of them, just go with the popular vote. You don't have to steal the election in 2020. You just get your guy in there. By my count, he earned over 100 million votes to Biden 37. You wouldn't have to rig the election. Lila, let me finish. You wouldn't have to rig the election. You wouldn't have to bring all these lawsuits against him. The massiveness of the opposition to Trump tells me he is genuine. He's flawed. We all agree to that. He's flawed, but he's genuine in putting America first. And I disagree with you about being a man of great vanity. He's actually got a lot of humility. Lila, you're entitled to have different opinions about
Jim,
this.
I respect your right to have your opinion. And my instincts, I mean, he's already had 4 years to prove that he's vain. And he gave away Jerusalem. He violated international law by giving away Jerusalem. Even assuming that Israel was there legitimately, which it was not, he as president should have said, you should not be in the UN, you're illegitimate. Instead, what he did was pile more rewards onto that corrupt country by giving them what one might call the jewel in the crown. But anyway, it's not up to you or me. All I'm saying is, remember the Holocaust. Can I just finish my point, please, Jim? You've invited me to give my opinion. Let me do it. Just as these terrorist Zionists created the Holocaust, created all sorts of false flags to win sympathy, they're now tormenting Trump to win sympathy for him. It's all a charade. He's not going to be put in jail. He's not going to be convicted of anything. He's going to be out there on the ticket to run as president. And everybody will say, oh, that poor man. He was horrendously taunted and tormented by the crazy Democrats. That's something people need to consider. You judge a person by their track record.
Lila.
This man has made a lot of money with the help of New York Jews. You don't make money in New York without them. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Lila, I give you more time than anyone in the world has ever given you. Let me finish. The man was overwhelmingly... The man was overwhelmingly the preference of the American people before all these
lawsuits were brought. God bless him. He'll be wonderful for America like he was before.
Why are you talking over me, Lila?
Jim, let's not discuss. It's not up to you or me. You can say what you want.
Okay, Lila. Your attack
Jim,
on Trump.
I don't want the time. I don't need the exposure. I like my privacy. The only thing that brings me back into the public domain is that I am outraged by what's happening, and I feel a moral obligation to speak up in defense of those who do not have a voice in this country. And I don't know what your audience size is, but I don't imagine it's the same as the mass media. So please, I've worked in the mass media. I know, and I walked away from it because it was so corrupt. So I'm not interested in exposure. I'm not running for anything. I'm just trying to say what I happen to believe is true. And then I don't want any more time, Jim.
That's why
it's
it's
not a vanity thing for me. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm just trying to wake people up.
That's right. And that's so am I. And that's why I put you on here. And I'm just explaining to you that your argument about Trump is flawed. Yeah, he's got a weakness regarding Israel. But he's putting America first. He shut down the border. He made us energy independent.
He does not. I'm not going to argue about Trump. Let's see what happens. It's up to the rigging of the next vote. Whoever can rig the next election, if there is one.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's leave it up to the people if they get to cast their vote in a fair election, which they won't. It won't be a fair election.
If it were up to the people, Trump would be in office now and not Biden. I mean, you understand the theft of the 2020 election, do you not? My explanation
No. I don't want to discuss the election. I thought this was about Palestine. What the Zionists are doing there, what the terrorist Jews are doing there.
How can it only be about Palestine when the U.S. involvement is a function of Biden being in the presidency? And many of us would like to see
President is guilty. Every single president is guilty or he's been assassinated. And we can go back to Washington, who was manipulated by Alexander Hamilton. So it's not just Biden who is not even real. It's Blinken who's running the show. Blinken is your real president, and Blinken is answering to Netanyahu. So Netanyahu is your real president. Biden is a puppet, yes, but the guy pulling his strings is Netanyahu. He's the one giving the orders. Now, it appears as though when the Americans told Netanyahu, behave like a human being when you go into Al-Shifa hospital, they restrained themselves somewhat, but they still drove out 60 or 65,000 people. They still did whatever they wanted, regardless of how many times Blinken, and I can see the shame, it's written all over his face. He's embarrassed because he knows that he's culpable for all those deaths and the torturous deaths. There are ways that you can kill people. You can kill them in 3 minutes very humanely. If you want to exterminate them, do it. Do it, but do it humanely. Instead, they have to make us endure watching them suffer. How can we not feel their pain? I'm not saying all Palestinians are good people. I know a lot of bad Palestinians, but that's not the issue. Nobody is more perfect than the other. Everybody is vulnerable to human frailties to some degree. Some people have higher moral callings. Those who tend to believe sincerely that they are a creation of a benevolent deity tend to be a little more humane. Now, I'm not even going to apologize for my anger or being out of control, because when I see how anybody cannot be angry, how they cannot be in the streets expressing outrage. You don't even have to like Palestinians. Just the sight of human bodies and babies torn to shreds by rubble. And not only that, watch them. They're not even afraid. They don't say, oh, gee, I'm not going to go under the rubble and try and pull out a body or body parts because the rubble might collapse on me. Their courage is phenomenal. They are so dedicated to trying to save the lives of those trapped under the rubble. Imagine if you were trapped under that rubble. And what had you done wrong? Nothing. You were alive. That was your sin. You were alive and you happened to be descended of the indigenous people of the land that someone is trying to steal. That has never had a right to have that land. They were admitted to the UN on the condition that they would allow the right of return, that they would respect all the conditions of membership, the charter of the UN. They have violated it for 75 years, and they've gotten away with it because the permanent members of the Security Council are the US and the UK. The UK really being London, England, who has pretty well dominated all the other peripheral parts of that greater island that they used to call Hibernia the Greater. But anyway, there's just a small elite, and they've got their people. They've just bribed everybody in positions of power. You know, it's pointless for you and I to argue about things that we can't control. I don't know why we even got into that discussion, but there's, even if someone like with a good heart, with an honest intentions, maybe Cornel West has them. I don't know. He may be vulnerable too to vanity and greed. Whoever gets in, the point is it's only one person. The whole Congress is corrupt. How do you get rid of your entire Congress and all the bureaucracies, the unelected officials? It's more than simply one man. He's not even in the days when there might have been a king. There were still nobles and barons underneath the king that could always have staged a palace coup. So how do you cleanse the entire area of D.C.? I don't know.
Something you may not know about the 2020 election is that the Republicans stole about 57 seats in the House from the Republicans. The Democrats stole around 57 seats in the House and 3 or 4 Senate seats to retain their control. They've kept people that are basically on ice, dead, like Dianne Feinstein, pretending that they were legitimate, or putting in people like Fetterman from Pennsylvania, who's completely unqualified in the office, just so they can retain a numerical advantage, while Schumer runs a scam on behalf of
all Jewish names, all Jewish names, right? Yeah, Jim. It doesn't matter if they're Democrats or they're Republicans. They're all basically the same group. They're all basically run and operated by the same puppet master. I'm sorry. I think, in my opinion, I may be wrong, but that's what I think. It really doesn't matter until the entire establishment is restored to a degree of integrity.
Well, you
I
are.
I don't know how far you're all. I'm not. I know not. I'm not. I know, don't know enough about U.S. politics or history to comment any further. I'm just talking about what little I know, that they always, particular group of people always controls both sides and put on a charade of having competition and rivalries.
Well, Lila, I do know more about U.S. politics. You know vastly more about Palestine, and I would never heard. I think everything you have said, I've ever heard you say about that, has been accurate and true and impassioned and well-grounded. Trump came in as an independent. He's been opposed by the elites on both sides because they are controlled and he's not. That's the problem. Trump is not
controlled. Anybody in New York that...
Lila. Lila.
I'm not going to discuss Trump any further. I despise Trump, period, end of story.
Well,
he I was sitting on the edge of my seat. Jim, stop talking
about him, Lila. I want to say a few words. And in case you notice, I'm the host of this show.
Jim, this is getting out of control. Let me tell you that I was sitting on the edge of my seat throughout the entire campaign, hoping that he would win, because I have such contempt for that critter, Hillary Clinton. However, once Trump got in, he made an ass of himself. I'm sorry. He showed himself to be utterly inexperienced and unqualified. And then when he did that Jerusalem stunt with his daughter to do it, that was so obscene. So that was when I lost any confidence in Trump. I don't care if he's president or if he's a shoe salesman. That kind of person who would do that, it, to my mind, is not an ethical, principled man. That's just my opinion. I defer to you in terms of what, if you can see into the future and say that his track record is not going to indicate his behavior in future, Maybe you know something I don't know. All I know is that usually the best predictor of the future is what a person has done in the past, especially if they're of a certain age where they have behavioral patterns in their life. A young person can change an older person. You know, so I apologize if I've offended you by saying that I don't trust Trump. We should never have gotten into that. But it doesn't really matter, because whoever is president still has a Congress, a bureaucracy, and they still have to answer to the powers, the real power in the terrorist gang of Israel.
There you go. Pretending you know more about American politics than do I. I mean, that's just offensive to me.
I'm not pretending.
Can you be silent for a moment?
Thank you for the privilege of having spoken to you. Thank you so much, Jim.
Wow.
You're a very wise man, and I apologize that I
said
anything about this Saint Trump.
I don't mind that you don't trust Trump. I think that's just fine. The fact is, he is a threat to both sides.
Why are we talking about him? I didn't want to talk about Trump. I should never. I introduced the subject by saying that whoever is the president in the next election might have some influence. But in truth, I should never have said that, because I know better than anyone else.
Lila, you're not the host of the show.
It's your show. Let me go. I'm going, Jim. I thank you for the opportunity to say what I've said. I have no apologies for being outraged and offended, and for feeling that people have betrayed themselves by allowing this gang of terrorists to remain in the UN for as long as it has, when it has violated its conditional admission to the UN over and over and over again. I do not apologize that I am outraged that at a time when we live in purported democracies, that the UN Security Council has had two permanent members who have been there from the very beginning. And that is the center of power, the Security Council. Until those two seats are made rotating, or until the Security Council itself is entirely eliminated and made up of the UNGA, where you do not have to have a unanimous vote, but at least a majority vote, and you make sure that nobody is susceptible or nobody commits to or submits to bribery or threats or whatever. Until that can be done, there's really not much hope for any change. And that goes for any international body or any national government. We see governments falling and rising all the time. Look at Malay. What happens? This rodent Zelensky goes there with a menorah. The Argentinians have a history of gotten rid of the Peronistas. I mean, this is bizarre. That doesn't really matter. Though it's not even, and I disagree with the statement that power corrupts. I think those who seek power are already corrupted. The only thing is that once they have power, then they go the full depth. They fall into the utter abyss. So it is not simply that having power is the source of corruption, because people who actually achieve levels of power usually have to show that they're willing to be corrupted. You make compromises step by step by step. Getting to the top of anything requires compromises. Some people are not willing to make it. Some people prefer to remain in positions of privacy and anonymity. Now, I used to be in the on a small level, on the local level, in the public eye, and it was a horrible position to be in. People think they own you, and that is immediately, you've compromised yourself once you get into that. Now, I did it because I thought I wanted to show that I, as a Palestinian, was a human being. I was not an ugly, demented creature, that I could speak, that I was intelligent. But then the compromises that I had to make in order to continue, I thought, no, I'm not going to lose my soul for this. And besides, I had family members that needed me more than Palestine. And I realized, no, I was never with the Jews or the Zionists, the terrorists in control of the media, especially the CBC in Canada. They control all the media. Look at the National Post in Canada, and then look at the bottom and see all of their holdings. They own a newspaper in every city in this country. and who founded the National Post, the same guy, the same corrupt black, the man who has the name Conrad Black, who created the Jerusalem Post. So, and then he complained because he was prosecuted in the U.S. and he had to serve time in what people called Club Fed. And yet he holds that against. And what did he do? He renounced his Canadian citizenship so he could be made Lord of something or other in London, England. But even though he was a right-wing conservative, the left-wing Chrétien allowed him to come back to Canada when he had renounced his citizenship. So you tell me that they're different parties. They're all basically answering to the same global powers. And who are they? And how did they get there? And once you're there, you can't survive unless you submit. Anyway, you know more about, of course you do. You're an academic with a lot of credentials. You've studied carefully, but I'm just going by instincts and a certain amount of intuitive observation. And there are some things as having, you don't have to live in a country. I did live in the U.S. anyway, and I did interview the big shots that were running for the role of president. I saw it. I felt it close up how evil they were. I told you that in an email. I literally was struck speechless by some of the candidates when they were campaigning. They are already consumed by evil, or else they would not be pursuing positions of power. And so I think to some extent power corrupts absolutely, but it's not the power itself that's responsible. It's the pursuit of power and then the compromises you make to keep the power. And right now, the one, I don't know how long they've been able to influence the power structures of different nations around this planet. I would imagine that their power goes back centuries. But that's all I can say. I can only make deductions, which may or may not be accurate. And I apologize if I've offended you. That was not my intent. But I do not apologize for my utter outrage about those terrorist animals that have taken over the land that we call the Holy Land. They have desecrated. It's going to need, exorcism after they're out of there. Sorry. Anyway, Jim.
Well, I think you're a superb spokeswoman for the Palestinian cause, and I have treasured every moment I have featured you on my shows, Lila. And such disagreements as we have are incidental and insignificant compared to the power and force of the message you deliver about the inequities, the unjustness, the grotesque nature of what's taking place today in Palestine, which is an atrocity of unmeasurable proportions before the very eyes of the world. And so far to this point in time, no one has done anything to stop it. And that, in my opinion, the world accessories to the crime of genocide.
Exactly. Yeah, that's part of my grave disappointment. That's what tears me apart inside, that the whole world can just stand by and watch and even repeat the mantra, "We stand by Israel." And the United Nations, which should have ejected Israel for failure. And thank you. Excuse me. I've got to thank Greg Felton for having, because even I was not aware until I found the letter that he had written and posted, gregfelton.com. See the letter that he has posted. The only thing that is satirical about that letter is he is doing it in the name of Ban Ki-moon, when he was made Secretary General in 2009.
Lila, wonderful having you here. I cannot thank you enough. Spend as much time with your family if you'd love it.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at...